Steve.
What do you do?
Everything but play drums, because I can't.
My name is Billy Smith. I play guitar and I sing.
I'm Sean Sherrill. I play bass and keyboards.
Pete LaPorte, drums, and nothing else.
All right. Well, I know that people in Kansas City are pretty familiar with where you guys started and who you played with before this band came around, but for the people in Lawrence, if we could get maybe a little bit of background and maybe some of your influences. I know they kind of go together, so.
Well, me and Pete have been playing for over a decade plus, like in a band called Dirt Now. And through that time, we played with Season of Risk, which is Steve Tulipana's band. And we also played with Shiner, which is Sean Sherrill's old band. And we basically got together to do a Joy Division tribute for a Halloween party. And from there, we started. I mean, we've all been listening to music since well before the turn of the century. You know, and we all listened to punk rock when we were kids, and we went through like our like, you know, dark wave, like new wave, Depeche Mode phase, and you know, post punk we listened to, and everything, you know, we were all been in like noisy bands, we've been in indie rock emo bands, and you know, so and we've liked it all, and we've like the whole time pretty much, like Steve and I especially, and Billy have like, you know, been DJing dance nights all over the town for years, and so there isn't a whole lot of music that we don't really like and count as an influence.
Pull from, you know,
like even stuff we would never consider even remotely trying to play has played a big part in our lives, I think. So
it's more about not emulating anything in our minds anyway, is what makes our music, I think, what we're trying to do, you know. If it sounds a little bit too much like this or that, I think we all make a conscious effort to like step back from that.
Stop and restart that.
So do you think it's kind of an amalgamation of everything sort of building up, or do you think it's almost like a circle?
It's definitely, it's both. It's like an amalgamation, but like what we always say, or what it seems like to be the driving force behind the way we've ended up sounding is when we started out playing together, it was more based on like a shared appreciation for the same aesthetic musically, and the fact that we were already practicing regularly and were good friends and have mutual respect, and the direction started out more as like a process of elimination. Like we knew more what we didn't want to sound like than we knew exactly what we wanted to sound like.
What don't you want to sound like?
We didn't want to sound like the projects we've been involved with before. We didn't want to be Season of Risk. We didn't want to be Dirt Nap. We didn't want to sound like Shiner, and we definitely didn't want to sound like Interpol. And you know, it was really easy for us to slip into like shoegazer mode, you know. And
a lot of the stuff we discounted was real shoe, right? Like more Bloody Valentine,
yeah.
Stuff that we kind of, maybe we'll revisit that at some point. We've recorded everything since the beginning, like everything that we're, it's a collaborative band. It's very, very right, it's collaborative.
And it's real easy when we're jamming, you know, it's kind of the way we come up with songs mostly, just kind of slip into that, you know, stuff that's easy for us to play, and then we listen to it and we're like, wow, that's too much, like something we don't want to sound like, and, you know, which that's the only way that, like, we consciously affect what our stuff sounds like is like eliminating things.
Is that part of the songwriting process then though?
It's huge.
Check off no?
Well, we record a lot and then we'll go back and listen to it maybe even like months later when we can't remember what we were playing, but you know, and we'll be like, that was cool. Do you remember how you were playing that?
Yeah.
No.
Look, I was saying this the other day, like whenever I sit down to write by myself, I write really mellow, kind of shoegazer, sad songs and kind of things that, even with Dirt Nap, you know, like whenever I would bring them and present them to the band, they would get juiced up a little bit more rock, and, you know, like kind of rock out the version that I had come up with or whatever. And this is kind of the same way with us. Like sometimes we'll just start, it starts mellow and in the transgression of the songwriting, but then by the time we revisit it, it kind of like we consciously try to step it up a little bit.
There's a dark element to what we're doing, but we still want it to be fun. You know? We still want people to.
We want people to see it, to want to see it live. Like, there's tons of bands I love that I wouldn't necessarily want to like go watch live, and, like unless there's couches involved.
Uh-huh.
And we're trying to avoid that.
It was our friends at
about the connection to the record bar. That's another thing that I think people in Kansas City are really aware of, but I think people in Lawrence wouldn't know.
Well,
it's something that the name, part of the concept.
Maybe start more basic, like you and I own it.
Well, that's what I say. Well, Sean and I had this name and this idea for years, you know, living together and being on tour together, way before the band. I mean, years. Someday we're gonna have
lots of drunk talk about the record bar.
Someday,
way before
we came up with this name, and I didn't. And recently, I found out that there was an actual retail outlet in Indian Springs Shopping Mall called the Record Bar. Didn't know that.
Music store.
Yeah, music store sold records. But we had this name. I don't know where it came from. And we, someday, and the space, we were looking for something small. We didn't really want to do live music. We wanted to have enough room that if a friend of ours was on tour, had a day off, and they were like, I need a day in Kansas City on Tuesday, or I'll be there 2 days, there's enough room to set up in the corner. The whole idea was more about music and food, and like the walls were lined with records, and sharing, DJ-oriented, but not mix master.
We wanted to pull off a small operation,
just
like a little like neighborhood or dive bar, you know, just like where we were the majority of the staff.
And our friend Fenton, who owned Malloy Brothers and his brothers, called and said, I heard you boys are looking for a space. What about my space? Like, no, it's in Westport. No, it's in a shopping mall. No, it's too big. You know, we would have too big. No, we'd have to do big events. So we walked in and looked at it, and all of a sudden they kind of got the vision, like, well, we could do this.
Bring some more coffee.
This is kind of funny, because that's when the band was done. We were getting ready. The week that we bought, that we were closing on the bar, was the week that the 2 weeks we were in Chicago recording the record.
We were supposed to officially close August 1st. That's when we took possession. And like the first 2 weeks of July, we were in Chicago or in Tolono, Illinois, recording, tracking at Matt from Home's place, Great Western, and then on to Chicago to mix at Wax Trax, and that was a pretty stressful event.
Stressful.
Like a stressful time. I mean, it's like it's challenging enough to focus on recording when there's nothing else going on, but like when you're trying to close like your first like a deal on like a
your first business,
like you're trying to buy your first business, which you know. First and only, maybe.
Exactly.
Have no idea what you're doing.
And you're every dime you got is like, well.
Every dime you have is like on your cell phone, because you're on the phone constantly talking to every bureaucrat in the city trying to get it to happen. And then you're like, oh,
learning
yeah,
how to
this
do.
Would be a perfect time to leave town and try to make a record for 2 weeks.
But that said, it's a perfect example of what we're doing by touring and leaving. And we're a big part. We don't have a manager. We have it's very family friend oriented. People work there. We're all in it together, and it allows us to get the door for them. You know, we've done it a couple times. We haven't had any problems yet. It
took us about a year before we were
comfortable,
ready to leave more than just a weekend.
As far as being in a band and sort of being involved in this, and all of you guys, how has it affected how you play elsewhere, or how
in
you
town?
See bands that come in? Or
well, the first way we thought it would affect us is, I mean, there was genuine concern about, because it was killing us. Like, we were so busy just trying to get the thing open, and you know, we made a conscious decision. We're like, this bar isn't going to be the end of the band. You know, like, we'll make it work somehow. Like, we'll figure out what we can do. And obviously, it took a while before. You know, Billy, he's the full-time booking agent for the bar, hugely instrumental in what we do there, and, you know, largely to blame for the success of the place. So
largely.
Live and learn.
Blame.
But, you know, like, to consider, like, all three of us leaving for an extended amount of time, like, it wasn't reality for, you know, the first several months, if not the first year.
But it also was kind of like, I know Pete and I weren't really pressuring that idea, because
right.
Touring really, it's kind of the last thing on the totem pole as far as how I want to be in a band anymore.
And it's challenging for everybody, regardless of whether you own a bar or
yeah,
if you're having a
I
job
mean,
or
to pay bills and to do anything on the road, it's like you have to basically clock out and then go what seems like just fun, which
yeah,
is a lot
it
of
is fun.
Fun.
It's a blast.
But, you know, for us as a band, that really wasn't our number one goal, was to hit the road immediately. In this day and age, it's probably the least effective way to get your music out.
Well, Pete, you've been awfully quiet. How does it affect you as the one non-record bar person that's in Roman numerals?
I just go with the flow.
He gets into all the shows for free.
Yeah, that's true.
You get the best deal out of everybody.
I get to drink on the super cheap.
Get some boy price on the liquor.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it work the door.
Until the last two times, I was kind of starting to get freaked out about the record bar because I would sit there and count how many people were coming the door while I was playing, you know, and like kind of doing a head count of like, we're playing on stage, I'm looking at the bar to make sure everyone's getting served properly and bartenders don't need anything.
But
I think it's
not like that.
It's working out pretty damn well. I mean, I think we're taking a pretty good, our own pace at how we are touring and really taking the record. Yeah, I don't think we're really touring any differently than we would have, like, if the record bar never existed. I mean, I think we're touring about as much as we would if we just
were
working regular jobs.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, like I said, if anything, a little more, because some of us are afforded a little more freedom.
You guys are leaving on tour soon. I know it's close to the longest, or like you said, it's about the longest tour you've ever been on. Are you gone, and are you excited? What are you going to do?
We're playing with some good friends of ours, West Indian Girl from LA, a band that we like and respect and also has a good draw on the West Coast, so we'll meet them on their way back from South by Southwest. Where's our first show with them? Albuquerque?
Albuquerque,
and then we head through the desert, through San Diego, up through LA, and then we head on up to the Pacific Northwest and back to Winter.
Which would be
our
first time
for
us up there, in Portland and Seattle and up there.
Well, we just got back from there in December.
So it's only been 2 weeks.
West Coast,
so I think it's good to be going back that quick. So hopefully.
And there sure were a lot of Lawrence and Kansas City friends at our shows
there, which is
pretty cool. You kind of see that a lot.
Where people have gone. Right?
Yeah.
Well, just sort of end it off then. What are you looking for to happen in this year? If you're looking for anything, or?
I just think the record has only been out for 6 months, really.
Mm-hmm. The first and only record,
yeah. And I think that it's still growing. It's an independent record, and we've got distribution, but it's still a small thing. And all we can do is get out and play it, and hopefully, you know, get.
And I still don't think it's too late at all for us still to like garner maybe like some kind of regional or even national grassroots support for it that, you know, could snowball into something. You know, probably by the time we're tired of playing those songs, but, you know, that happens.
That's how it seems to happen to everybody.
But, I mean, we're just glad for the opportunity to be able to, like, take off and go play and, you know, be in a band that some people want to hear.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think also with this band, and maybe getting a little older about this and realistic, is that I think our views about this band is that we started it out as fun. And we've had some people help us kind of create it as a business model in certain ways, but we're still focused about the idea that we're from the Midwest. We know we're probably going to stay fairly obscure in certain ways, and I think that gives us some freedom to still kind of keep it, like,
do what we want.
So you guys aren't moving anywhere, are you?
Huh?
You guys aren't going anywhere,
by
right?
No means. I don't see it. It would be...
Not until our lease is up.
Yeah.
The record board.
If we're moving anywhere, it's
to Italy.
I'd say it's across the drink,
across the pond.
Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, April.